This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on In the Loop with Lopez, Figgy, and myself, Reggie. We begin with some news that happened earlier in the day. The Saints, maybe years late, but they do get it done. Dennis Allen has been relieved of his duty. That is a Saints team that, after winning their first two games, have lost seven straight, capped off by a loss to none other than Bryce Young and the Carolina
Panthers.
You know your team is in a bad place when, as soon as a team loses to you, they're like, all right, we got to get the coach out of here.
No, that's it. That's why he was fired. You're losing to Bryce Young and the Panthers? Yeah, that's enough. I've seen everything I need to see.
Yeah, and in doing that, the Saints outgained Carolina by over 150 yards and won the turnover battle. And over the last 20 years, a team that has done that was 275-0. Now they're 275-1. Shout out to Bill Barnwell for that stat. But,
That's
a sign. What was that stat again?
So, a team that outgained their opponent by 150-plus yards and won the turnover battle had won the game
275-0.
Yeah, you got to go.
You've got to go.
The 276th team, they lost. And that was the New Orleans Saints just yesterday.
Man, and the Saints are just... See, here's the other part, and we've talked about this a little bit here and there. Like, there's no future. Like, the future is mortgaged. Talk about mortgaging the future. Salaries, quarterback, just all of it. With the Saints right now. And Derek Carr, by the way, I saw somebody mention this during the highlights, and this is exactly what it was. Throwing that hospital ball across the middle.
Well, yeah, there's a little contention on whether or not it was a hospital ball, but ultimately Chris Olave leaves the game with a concussion in that one because, he had one of those situations where the ball was out there, he catches it, and immediately gets into just a really tough, nasty hit. And he's down on the turf. Michael Thomas, former Saints wide receiver, took umbrage with that, and maybe there might have been more involved here as well. Mm-hmm. But he went on a little bit of a rant tirade. I always feel weird.
Twitter rant.
Because sometimes people are like, oh, that's a Twitter rant. I was like, that was just a thread. They just had some things to say. This one definitely felt a little bit more like a tirade or a rant or whatever. And I'll read verbatim. This is, five tweets in quick succession. Derek Carr, for you, I've been told y'all. Bleep sad. Second tweet. Dude scary and panic just to throw the ball. Get him the F out of here. He's so ass. Next tweet.
He's so ass.
That year his buddy went first team all pro in 2022. He needed 180 targets just to catch 100 passes. He's ass on my granny, which that means it's serious. Yeah. He's going to put it on his granny. Fourth tweet. Dude tried to lie and say I was jealous of them making Chris number one wide receiver. Whole time, he can't even get him a decent ball. He need his ass whooped. Fifth tweet and final tweet. They fired all them coaches trying to cover his flaws up. He's still doing the same bleep.
Yeah.
So safe to say, Michael Thomas, not a big fan.
Not a big fan.
Of Derek Carr as quarterback.
How wrong was he?
That's the tough part.
He wasn't wrong.
Yeah, I think Chris Olave's, I don't know if it's Pops, somebody weighed in on the tweet too.
Yeah. It was like, yep. they definitely liked it or something to that effect. I can't remember exactly what, but I remember exactly. Yeah. I remember that did happen. That
I think
someone attached to Olave was in agreement with Michael Thomas's assumption or assessment of the situation. So yeah, Michael Thomas, he has had some like kind of bitterness in that organization and around there. Like, so you wonder if any of that factors in, but you're right. Like, most of what he's saying here, these are the things that I would have as criticisms of Derek Carr, is that he has the arm talent. But there's been like a decided lack of aggression. You could call it being scared that he has exhibited in playing quarterback. And that sometimes leads to you throwing a football out there and not taking a hit or not, you know, or trading your personal safety for a lack of safety of your wide receivers because you're throwing it out there in a place where they can get hurt.
And speaking of stats, Figgy, this is the one that stood out to me. And he might even get it done. Derek Carr, now that he lost to the Panthers, has lost to 31 NFL teams. There are 32 NFL teams. He's lost to 31, and they play the Raiders in Week 17. That's the only team he hasn't lost to.
Yeah, the Raiders are selling, though. That's a team that is all the way in the pit.
I got confidence in Derek Carr. Hey,
I would not be surprised if he loses to them.
Can you imagine losing as a starting quarterback to every team in the NFL?
I know the boys on the morning show, Seth and Sean, were talking about it. It's kind of impressive, though, to like be good enough to that a team is not going to go away from you as you have an opportunity to play. Because you don't play every team every year, right? It takes a time to be able to accumulate. And in theory, you're not just losing to every team that you play. So like, it takes a lot of time and a lot of snaps.
You got
to
be really good at it.
Yeah. Like, he's been a starting quarterback for a long time, man. Yeah. And say what you want about him, you either like him or you don't.
Yeah.
Well, but this is the thing about Derek Carr. Like, as a football player, you either like him or you don't. And this was his response to the Michael Thomas, tweets. And he gets to a little bit of, like, how people generally like him. And he's not wrong about that.
I have love for Mike. When he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously. You know, I've had so many teammates over the years. And he's, like, the one dude that didn't get along with me, you know. And I don't know what I did to him. I don't know why he feels that way. I'm sorry, you know, for whatever he's dealing with to make him feel like he's got to do that. I don't know, you know. But he's never called me during any of this. My phone number has never changed. I've in fact called him on different occasions. It's something I just would never do to a teammate, you know, because it was single high. The ball went to where we talked about it going, and Chris got hit in the head. Unfortunately, that happens in our game, and I would never do it on purpose. I didn't throw him into a bad, you know, look. You know, it wasn't a different coverage where that guy was just, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when it comes to the football aspect of it, I really don't have an answer for it.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, that was a sound explanation, but the fact that Derek Carr has done this in the past and Derek Carr has alienated and, you know, some players in the past, I don't know what he was talking about. There have been other players that have, you know, sort of questioned, you know, past, usually they're analysts or whatever, questioned some of the things that he's done. But it's, as we started this, it's an absolute mess in New Orleans.
It is.
Now and moving forward.
And he's not wrong. Like, Derek Carr seems to be like a really solid dude, like as a human being. Players seem to like him. However, that explanation, you said it sounds solid. Yeah, I don't know that I love it as like the actual pass wise.
No,
and
exactly.
That's the thing that will ultimately get you hemmed up. Like, you could be a great dude, but if the production is not there, especially if you ended up getting people hurt, I imagine that that's not going to go well.
Yeah, and then the way he explained all it, he tried to make Michael Thomas sound like he a crazy man.
Yeah, he did.
Like, whatever things he got going on, it's out of his brain pretty much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know about that.
And the Saints have a job opening, and a lot of people are mentioning our friend Aaron Glenn. Why the hell would Aaron Glenn want to go to the New Orleans? I know he played there. I know he coached there.
That's the
there.
Only reason why. They're probably looking at Houston.
That's not what, like, they look at. They look at what's the first thing a prospective head coach looks at? The roster. Can I win there? And that roster is upside down in terms of salary, upside down in terms of talent and future.
That go way back from Sean Payton.
Yeah.
But they've managed to keep doing things, and so something in me goes, they'll just find a way to circumvent all of this. But yeah, that's not a good spot. Now, obviously, I think the Texans have to, and a lot of Texas fans are operating as scavengers whenever a team shows a level of being bad. Everybody goes, oh, do they have something that we can take? I think the only offensive line wise, there's not anything I think of great benefit there that I think you could go and get. Marshawn Lattimore supposedly. A possible, trade, target. Yeah. I don't know that is the level of cornerback that you would be willing or be able to kind of get.
No, but I do think, kind of what we talked about a little while ago. I think this is why the trade deadline moving back is such a good thing. Whether, there might be, but it's not just the Saints. There's a lot of teams that are in the same boat they see the writing on the wall and they can maybe deal.
So, speaking of the trade deadline, I saw an interesting piece from Schefter a few days ago. Now, the Commanders, they got a win, and they are 7-2 for the first time since 1996. Just a real highlight as to where Washington is. However, yeah. Schefter wrote a story about players seeking to end up in Washington. So, apparently, according to Adam Schefter and his sources, which is kind of where I want to go with this conversation... players are trying to wind up in Washington and play for the Commanders. Now, some of this, I imagine, Dan Quinn seems to be big-time players coach that players love playing for. Mm-hmm. But some of this has to be the idea that they have figured something out organizationally and they have a lot of nice young talent. Or I guess they've added some veterans on the cheap, but they have a nice group of guys coming together. Do you, one, believe that there are players clamoring to go to Washington? And two, who does it benefit to have this story leaked? Who are we getting this information from, Lopez?
Well, it's clearly from the Commanders, but I do believe it because of Daniels and because of what they can do there. It's just like the coaching thing. Coaches look at the roster, players look at what's the quarterback that can help me win. Help us win or whatever. No, I do believe it.
Yeah, I found that to be real interesting that you had a story of that was that particular.
It was planted, but still, it's
very
true.
Planted. I was like, all right, we're mere days away from the trade deadline, which if you don't know, again, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central is when the deadline hits. Mm-hmm. And it really was a story that solely, the only thing about it was players really do love wanting to get to Washington. And I was like, that's the whole idea of the story, huh?
Yeah.
And that really was it. We mentioned one coach getting fired. How about some other ones? The Raiders, who, in a bad way, they fired offensive coordinator Luke Getsy after 9 games. And in addition, fired his offensive line coach and a quarterback coach, both of whom were in their very first season with the Raiders. And this is because they're on their first 5-game losing streak, rather, since 2018, and are tied for the worst record in the NFL.
So let's go through the list again. Offensive coordinator.
Correct.
Quarterback's coach.
That's right.
And what was the other one?
Offensive line coach.
Huh. that's a sign, isn't it? That's a sign when you're that's a sign of desperation, a sign of the walls sort of closing in on you. I would not feel very comfortable if I was coaching for the Raiders.
No. Yeah. You shouldn't.
No.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably shouldn't even got that job, to be honest, man. He came in as an interim coach.
Oh, you're talking about,
Antonio Pierce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's always kind of iffy, seeing somebody.
It's a sign.
Rile up the team the last couple games of the year.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time that the interim came in and it was a good hire? The problem with, this is always the problem with hiring the interim. The interim is there to kind of just be a caretaker. Mm-hmm. And you get a little something good and you just let the good vibes get in the way.
Wasn't Dennis Allen an interim too?
Dennis Allen was also the interim.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
Who did he take over for?
Head coach of the Broncos, Sean Payton.
Yeah,
he was previously the defensive coordinator under Sean Payton.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And they were hey, yeah, you'll take over. And then they just kept it. I guess technically he wasn't termed as an interim because that happened in the offseason.
Oh, okay.
But they were just like, the
next guy in the room.
Yeah.
It felt
very much the hiring process of an interim where they're just like, who's in the room? Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
And he managed to say.
You got the same thing going on in New England, too.
Well, so, Gerard Mayo, felt a little bit different because it felt like for a while that he was kind of being groomed to be the next head coach as opposed to Dennis Allen. That felt a lot more like, well, you here.
Yeah.
But regardless.
Like I said, next guy in the room.
Next guy in the room. Yeah. And when it comes to future opponents of your Texans, yes, the Lions played well, and you'll have them next Sunday here at NRG Stadium. And then after that, you'll be traveling to Dallas to face off against a Cowboys team that looks like they are not only they're beaten and bruised, both metaphysically and physically. they lose to the Falcons, and it was really embarrassing, 27-21, and I don't think that it was really as close as the score seems to indicate. However, Dak Prescott leaves that game with a hamstring, and then CeeDee Lamb, who is going to have a MRI on his shoulder. They're still, Micah Parsons didn't play in that game. Deron Bland, one of their cornerbacks, didn't play in that game. They're still missing their other pass rusher. Yep. Like, they are really beaten and bruised, and now the quarterback and their best offensive player are also in a space where injury report is going to be, is going to see their name quite a bit this week.
Well, let's ask Dak Prescott what he thinks of their team. Because he made it pretty clear on the sideline.
Yeah, I believe the lip reading experts that was seem not to even, believe.
I don't read lips. That was pretty obvious.
That he said, "We bleeping suck.
We bleeping suck."
At least the man being honest.
What? That was
sometimes
awesome.
You got to be honest, man.
He just turned to the guy, and it was so matter of fact. He just kind of casually turned to the dude and said, "We bleeping suck."
Seth, that's where the Dallas Cowboys are.
Yeah.
So hopefully that at least guarantees one win of this run of primetime games, because unfortunately you lost on Thursday, and it's going to be a tough one on Sunday Night Football against the Lions coming up. But yeah, that's Around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. If you got extra game day tickets, turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Down fans looking for seats. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, we're going to do a little segment that I like to call Judge John Lopez. Let's have John determine if these things that happen in the sports world this weekend, who is the winner, or who is in the right, rather. Is it the player, or is it the other people? We'll talk about it next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.